Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. We are with a live audience.
We have a live studio audience here at the Exponential Conference in Orlando, Florida. As always, we're deeply thankful for our guests.
That's kind of your radio voice, right?
It is my radio
your
voice.
Your DJ voice.
I actually, this is just my voice. It's not like a radio voice. It's a voice.
No, you have a radio voice.
But I didn't like create a radio voice.
Yes.
We'll be playing the hits all day, all night on WBCR.
There you go.
Anyway,
I don't know. Anyone
recognize that clip? We'll be playing the hits all day and all night on WBCR. Sure makes you want to cry, baby. How'd this get in the stacks? Resurrection Band. There you go. Sorry.
One person.
You got one person, dude. And you are old. All right. So that's bugging me because that says something about me.
Well, you're not young.
You're not the young whippersnapper. All right. Good.
Okay. So we have a great question from Kenno, who is from, he flew all the way to Exponential.
Just for this question.
Just to be on the podcast.
This is it.
From Finland.
From Finland.
Thank you, Kenno. What's your question?
All right.
I'm Kenno. I'm from Finland. And I mean, in Europe, we have a quite different situation on church planting. And my question is, we still have the talk or the discussion on church planting is more about should we revitalize old churches or plant new churches? And they are somehow opposite things. So is there anything new on that area that you can, for example, research, studies, to put some content to this and maybe just welcome Europe to your podcast?
Yes. I don't think we've ever had a question from Finland.
Not from Finland,
We have a disproportionate number from Saskatoon. But other than that, you guys have heard the Saskatoon one. It's Saskatoon again.
Yes.
It's like we have a cult following in Saskatoon. Anyway.
Yeah, never from Finland.
Never from Finland. No. This is the first time.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So what do you think?
All right. So this is a great question. And you're seeing a lot of multi-site churches try to figure out multiplication, right? And I think we are beyond the days where a multi-site church will say, oh, all we're doing is multi-site. This is all we're going to do is do another campus. We are not for church planting. I think we're beyond those days, or we're about to get beyond those days, because honestly, large launch multi-site churches are few and far between, and you need a lot of money and a lot of people to do it well. So what has been really encouraging, right, is the way that multi-site churches and churches who are wanting to multiply, how they'll actually partner with churches that actually need to be revitalized. Right, and these are churches that are dying in communities. And think about, they're in every community, right? They have buildings, right? And you even look at the number of church planters who are saying, okay, how do I faithfully serve? I'm called to this city, and how do I faithfully serve this city? And there are these churches in our city, maybe in downtown areas, that are gorgeous, that have land. I mean, there are so many cities now not even zoning for churches. Right. And so what does it look like for me to faithfully serve here and actually partner well with the churches that are here in the city that may be dying? And they recognize that. I think the thing that we can't do is say, knock on their door and be like, hey, I think you're dying. I drive by every Sunday and your parking lot is empty. And look at my parking lot. We need room, right? So how about we do a swaparoo here? Or how about I take over?
That's a technical, right? Missiological term, the old swaparoo.
Yeah. So all that to say, there's definitely a movement of, a lot of people call it replanting, right? Or restarting.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Finland is, evangelical Lutheran church, but evangelical doesn't mean the same thing there as it does here. So mainline, state-connected church, that kind of stuff. A lot of dying churches in and around there. What we found, of course, let me just say too, very important. I'm an American. Daniel's a Canadian. We are not experts on where you are. We want to learn, hear from you, and more. So the examples we would give might be other examples, but your specific question does have a familiar ring. For example, some questions in the U.K., where the UK, the state church was Anglican, historically, still is. And what has happened is that particularly through the influence of something called HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton, they've now seen them reclaim a lot of those 1,000-year-old churches And now they have become sometimes multi-site, sometimes just vibrant, more charismatic congregations. It really depends who you ask. People talk about these numbers, but it could be as much as a third of UK churches now have been influenced by that charismatic, and many of them replanted in those congregational lives. The difference is, you know, Justin Welby, who's the Archbishop of Canterbury, he is an HTB product. You know, he's a charismatic. It was scandalous when he says he speaks in tongues and all this sort of stuff. So there's a friendly connection that's there. But a lot of the state churches in Europe don't have a friendly connection with the kind of groups that would replant inside there as well. So I think if there is an openness, having a strategy where you replant. Now, of course, you know, again, no experts on Finland here, but, you know, late comer to industrialization, more of an agrarian society, that kind of stuff. So this is going to be more rural, more agrarian, more less urban, but also means there are going to be a lot of church buildings dotted around the landscape from after the Reformation that could be reclaimed for gospel work. And some are still functioning in gospel work, but a lot of them have closed, as you know. And so I think I would ask the question, is this a resource we could steward? Could we work with the leaders, bishops, and others to do that inside the Evangelical Lutheran Church? And most of the time it's or, because a lot of times they feel threatened by that, or do we need to plant churches and sites in new facilities, which is very strange in a lot of European contexts. Like, wait, there's a church in this strip mall when there's a beautiful empty brick building here on this, you know, wherever. So it's tricky. A lot of that depends on the willingness, and sometimes that's local at the diocesan level. Is there an openness to the kind of revitalization? There's not a lot written about this, you know, these ideas. Clifton,
yeah.
Who I've actually known for 25 years, and we're super close. And
one time,
did
you meet him when he was John or when he was Mark?
I knew him both. I knew him both lives.
Okay, because he likes to
witness protection
around,
program thing, so we shouldn't mention that. He was in Quebec, and so all of a sudden he's now Mark Clifton,
Quebec,
and c'est Quebec.
It's Quebec.
He was Quebec with the Quebecois, so he was Mark Clifton. So. Are you guys making fun of my ridiculous French accent?
You sound like the guy from Little Mermaid.
Wow. Fair enough.
Les boissons.
Les boissons. It's fabulous. Okay. Wow. We are never going to have a listener in Quebec again. And,
okay. One thing I want to add there is just because – so I've never seen it work well when a church planner goes and tries to knock down, and it's very much them initiated – and because it's aggressive and it's, you know, there's just, I've always seen it work well when it's saturated in prayer, right? There's a lot of prayer. There's a lot of, you know, well, this would not have happened if it wasn't God, you know, those kind of moments. However, just because a church says, yes, we want to give you our building, doesn't mean you should accept it, right? Because especially with historic buildings, it might kill your budget and tank your church.
Yeah, it's sometimes better. Yeah. I was talking to a guy who was a student that came to one of our classes, and he's pastoring a 1,000-year-old church in the UK.
With no heating, no cooling.
That was his
biggest
excitement
right?
was, is that they just put in a toilet.
Yeah.
He was so excited about putting in a toilet. I'm like, yeah, pacing yourself, are you? Is that kind of maybe
and, you
1,000
know,
years
with,
we'll put in a
and
sink?
And with historic buildings, too.
Yeah, because it's not designed like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not even like, let's say you have to get a new roof on. Or you need to replace the outside because it's historic. It's not like you can just grab someone off the street or the church can just come together and do it. Oftentimes, it's going to cost so much more, right? So what I would say is just because you get a building or someone offers you doesn't mean you say yes. You do need to do the homework.
Yeah.
You do need to do
the
investment.
But then you can have a remarkable sense of goodwill. I mean, there's just some, you don't know. But if there's a place that people are like, you've reclaimed this, and this is a church now, there's a whole lot of people just come to that for that. So a lot of factors there. Great question. So thankful you came on the show. Great. From Finland, no less. Can we give a round of applause for our friend from Finland? Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks again for listening into the newchurches.com Q&A podcast, live edition from Exponential. Thanks, audience, for being here with us. We appreciate you, and we hope you catch us next time.